The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Man in Line is on through till one. First of all, let me tell you, 65 new cases of COVID were recorded yesterday. We now have 970 active cases, 5 people in Nobles, nobody in ICU, 329 people waiting for the result of a test, minimum of 74 booked in for a test today. And from the vaccination dashboard, 68,357 first doses have been administered, 64,839 second doses, 875 third doses, 22,180 boosters have been administered, a grand total of 156,251 vaccinations. Manxcare holding 9,334 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. Dr. Allenson is with us today, now Minister for Enterprise. How did you feel when you got the job?
I'm really, really excited, actually. I mean, obviously, the last couple of months have been busy with general elections, then chief minister's elections, but Enterprise, it has so much opportunity for economic redevelopment of the island and supporting the on-island population and the on-island economy. So absolutely thrilled to be part of that.
And a wide portfolio, but basically all about business and enterprise. I mean, at the bottom of it, generating economic activity.
It is, but also basically it's all about people. It's supporting those people who are on the island, whether they be employers or workers on the island. It's also enticing people to come over here where we've got skills shortages. And it's retaining those people who are here already by trying to, you know, allow them to progress their careers on the island. So there's a huge range of things there. But at the end of the day, if government are going to spend money, and no doubt we're going to be talking about that, whether that money's spent in Liverpool or on the flumes. And I'd love to be here on a flumes-filled Monday. You know, when we look at how government spends money, actually we depend on people to earn money on the island, and you know, also spend money on the island through VA and get the VAT and the tax back. So government are dependent on the people of this island to make sure that we can do what we need to do.
If you want to get in touch with Dr. Allenson, emails are coming in now. Text 166177, email studio@maxradio.com, or call 661368. Well, the vector, the trajectory, are we going in the right direction?
I think we are. Unfortunate. That's the only way I can say that. You know, Boris Johnson had to stand up and do this declaration about the variant of concern, Omicron, just the weekend before last. I think before that, people had started developing that confidence that, you know, we were over the worst, that we were looking forward to Christmas. I think we still need to do that. Yes, we do have a variant of concern. Yes, you can see that people are a bit cautious, a bit more worried. But by government stepping in and saying, look, can we go back to really emphasising the mask wearing? Can we emphasise doing lateral flows before you go out? Can we emphasise, you know, if you are unwell, get tested? We can actually do some fantastic things on this island. I mean, coming into to your studio today, I was met and offered a mask. We've got a screen in front of us, but we can still talk. We can still have the interview. We can still have business as usual. And we need to do that, not just for the economy going through Christmas, but also for people's general well-being and mental health, because we remember, or we should remember, how bleak it was, you know, this time last year.
So can you clarify to people what they can and can't do in terms of hospitality and what the government recommend?
Yeah, I mean, and one of the issues for people on the Isle of Man is if you turn on the news, it's a different agenda. It's either the UK agenda or the German agenda or the Austrian agenda, and all those countries are doing their own thing. What the cancer ministers decided in terms of reaction to the variant of concern was to bring in some extra measures. So the main ones is asking people to wear masks if they're on public transport. Also re-emphasise that if they go into a health or social care setting, because there are more vulnerable people there, that they wear a mask. But otherwise, it's coming down to those sort of common sense attitudes that if you're going to be going out, if you're going out for Christmas, do a test beforehand, make sure you haven't got it. I did a test this morning before I came to see you, just because I'd be absolutely mortified if I had it and didn't know and gave anyone else anything. Same thing about wearing a mask. You know, it's common courtesy if you're going into shops and offices that you wear it. And most people have been doing that, even before the Chief Minister's announcement last Sunday. Going round some of the shops in Ramsey, a lot more people wearing masks than were before. We've switched back into that cautious mitigation, but still doing things that we want to do. The other big effect, obviously, is we've been with the borders. We're now asking people, when they're coming back from the common travel area, that they take a lateral flow when they get back. And if they've been further abroad, if they've been to Europe, that when they come back, they self-isolate, get a PCR test, and then can go about their life as normal.
Okay.
So these are, I think, common sense ways of just keeping us a little bit safer while we see what the actual evidence about this variant is.
Have we got enough LFTs?
Yes. Yes. The last 18 months has sort of flown by. When this pandemic started, there were real problems with PPE. We didn't even have LFTs at the time. We didn't even have a vaccine. 12 months on, some people have had 3 doses of the vaccine. Mm. Never mind one. We've got decent PPE on the island. Anywhere you go to now, people are willing to hand out masks. I was on the bus yesterday and somebody got on without a mask. The bus driver very kindly handed them a mask, asked them to wear it. No. Fast, no hassle. We've certainly got enough LFTs. We're constantly reordering them. And obviously people can get them from pharmacies or online as well.
Okay. On a medical note as well, Omicron, what's your personal, professional view?
I'd love to be more certain about it, but we're still waiting for some of the evidence, because this was first detected in South Africa, where they've got a very good surveillance system. They were looking at a younger population where I think their vaccination rates are about 30%. So they found that it was more infectious, but people weren't getting as ill. But again, you're dealing with a younger population who aren't vaccinated but maybe have natural immunity because it went rife last year. I think that the jury is still out. It does seem to be more infectious. It spreads between people a little bit more than Delta. But what we don't know yet is whether that translates to more people getting seriously ill and more people going in hospital and dying. That's the game changer, because, you know, towards the summer, the message from government was very much, it's not about the numbers. It's not about the number of cases anymore. It's about the effect it has in terms of serious illness and death in hospital. And I think your figures just now, we've got, you know, over 900 people have been infected. So about 1% of the population at the moment are self-isolating. But we've only got 5 in hospital. I hope they all get well. I hope they all come out soon. We've managed to significantly weaken that link between getting infected and getting seriously unwell and dying, which was the whole thing about the lockdowns last year. What we need to do, though, is really emphasise the vaccination. That's been the game changer for all this. All the lockdowns were to build up the number of people who were vaccinated so we could keep the population safe. And I think we're on a long way on the road to doing that.
OK, departmental business. Here's an email in from Sean, who just said, could you ask Dr. Allinson about cannabis? The Gambling Supervision Commission is within DfE and the regulator for growing medicinal cannabis. How many licences have been issued? What's it worth to the Isle of Man, and when's it going to start feeding into the economy?
Very good question. So the Gambling Services Commission is actually not in DfE. It's an independent regulator which deals traditionally with e-gaming, but now is dealing with cannabis licences as well. How many licences have been granted? None at the moment today, but I know they've had 10 serious people being interested in it, and I know a couple of applications have gone in already. I hope we can announce the first successful license for that. In terms of the economy, again, it's a bit of an unknown, but it's starting up a new sector for growing medicinal cannabis on the island for export, and that will bring in more jobs to the island, highly skilled jobs, and also new developments in terms of training and education.
You started this public consultation, didn't you?
I can't take credit for it.
You were the first politician who put their head above the parapet.
Yeah, as a doctor, I know people who've taken cannabis who it's really helped them when conventional medicines happen for a whole range of issues, but particularly around multiple sclerosis, particularly around various cancers, and also about some psychiatric problems in terms of post-traumatic stress disorder. I was really, upset that we were criminalising large numbers of people who knew what helps them but couldn't get it through conventional ways. I think we really need to embrace medicinal cannabis as an option for people in a well-regulated system. Now, growing it on Ireland is probably the first start. We're also really keen to look at the way the Department of Health and Social Care allow people who have got prescriptions for this from doctors to actually get that supplied on Ireland, and hopefully we can move forward so that the people on the island get the same benefit that other people in other jurisdictions do, particularly in Jersey and Guernsey, who are a lot more progressive, but we can then move forward and actually look at the possibilities for this for people who otherwise are struggling and otherwise are really quite worried about being criminalised.
Well, 3 weeks on Saturday, it's 2022. How soon do you think this could actually happen?
I mean, there are two strands to this. In terms of the new sector for cannabis on the island, I think that could happen relatively quickly. Once the licences are granted, these individuals can start planning where they're going to site their factories, how they're going to run them. In terms of opening up the access to medicinal cannabis for people on the Isle of Man, I hope that the new health minister can actually look at that. I know he is looking at that again and trying to make sure that people can gain access to that through registered pharmacies without having to go through the palaver of applying for import licences every time they want to fill a prescription.
Okay. Well, part of Department for Enterprise, you've got business, digital, finance, locate, visit Isle of Man.
Yep.
There's a question in from Norman. You were talking about 500,000 per year, is that right?
Yeah, the long-term strategy for Visit Isle of Man is to grow the number of visitors coming here.
His question is, how will you do that? How
exactly? I mean, before COVID in 2019, I think we had about 320,000 coming over. What we need to do is actually, I think, publicise what we have on the Isle of Man a lot more. Other jurisdictions, Jersey, Guernsey, the UK itself, the lakes spend huge amounts of money publicising what they have. I don't necessarily think we need to spend the same amount of money, but we do need to brag about what we've got here. We need, as individuals, to tell friends and family how good it is to come here for a holiday. If the situation in Europe still remains precarious during the summer, I think people in the British Isles will be looking for staycations far more. We've got Southern Ireland as well. They'll want to go somewhere on holiday. Why not come here? So we can gradually grow that. But again, it has to be sustainable. So one of the aspects of the long-term strategy for Visit Isle of Man is to build up things like the accommodation sector, give a range of things that are available, whether it be hotels, self-catering, yurts, camping, so that people have got various options of coming here and having a really good holiday.
When you say advertise to people, I remember it's not that long ago, less than 20 years ago, I remember being on the tube in London. There were adverts on the tube in tube stations.
Yep.
Years ago, there used to be a permanent advert in Trafalgar Square for the Isle of Man. I mean, are you talking, is it television, newspapers, that stuff like that?
It's a bit of all of that, really. It's to increase the awareness of the Isle of Man, because I've been here for 20 years now, and I'm still amazed the number of people I bump into who the only thing that they think about with the Isle of Man are fast motorbikes and cats with no tails. And that message about the beauty of the island, the welcoming of the people here.
Do you think we've not been dynamic enough in promoting the island?
I think we've probably wanted to keep under the radar. There's been so many attacks on the Isle of Man about being a tax haven. I think we've all sort of put our heads down a little bit. I think coming out of COVID, looking forward, I think the visitor economy has a lot of potential, both to create wealth and jobs on the Isle of Man, but also to get people over here for holiday who then may want to come back and settle and start their own business or get employment here or raise their families here. Because if you visit the island, you suddenly realise what a great and special place we have.
Okay, in part two of Norman's question is the aim of getting 500,000 people over per year, which I think, is that within 5 years?
That was by 2032.
Okay, yep. And his point is, what about the standard of accommodation over here and getting our hotels up to 5-star?
And he's absolutely right. One of the this is going back a couple of years now when the department looked at what were the barriers for getting more people over, and it wasn't just the numbers of rooms. It was the fact that a lot of the accommodation here was a bit tired. was a bit old-fashioned, that people hadn't had the confidence to invest in the infrastructure. But actually, since then, we've got two new hotels open in Douglas alone. We've got the extension of the Ramsay Park Hotel. So people are beginning to invest more in the infrastructure of tourism, build up those hotels, get them on chains so people can access those easily. But also a lot more people are looking at the B&B, the self-catered accommodation as well, and increasing the offering for that. So I think we can grow this. The other aspect of tourism is, at the moment, it is concentrated over a couple of times of the year, particularly the TT, Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. And what we need to do is try to straddle that, create more events that are happening all year round, so we can get people, whether they want to come over to walk or cycle or bird watch or look at the dark skies, but trying to get an all-year tourism rather than just during those peak seasons.
Okay, let's go to Les. Les, you're live with Alex Allinson, Minister for Enterprise. Hi, Les.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just wondering if it's possible that taxi drivers can be given masks that they can give out, because Friday and Saturday night is a nightmare trying to get people to put masks on. I was verbally abused because he said I didn't need to wear a mask, and I said you did, because it was a public vehicle.
Yep.
And he got out the car, called me a moron, took pictures, wanted my badge number, and there's fighting on the ranks because people have got masks and they get into taxis, and the ones who haven't got masks are not happy about it. It's, if we have masks in the car, we can give them out.
Right, Les, number one, thanks very much for phoning up. I'm sorry you were abused. That's completely unacceptable when you're trying to do the right thing, both for you and other passengers. I'll certainly look into it in terms of the department to get access to masks, you know, the disposable masks. They are a lot more available now, but if there is a need there for taxi drivers, we'll try to fill that.
Les, what's the ruling? Are they supposed to sit in the back with a mask on?
Yes.
Okay.
All public vehicles.
Yep.
Transport, where they're supposed to wear masks.
Okay, all right, Les. I appreciate that call. Thanks for calling today. And that's certainly something to be thinking about as well. Here's a message. Let's see. We've got, let's just see. Eddie's with us. Hi, Eddie. You're live with Alex Allinson.
How are you doing? All right. The main things I always think about is you're talking about bringing X amount of people to the Isle of Man. How many did you say?
Well, the plan is to try to aim for about 500,000 in terms of the tourist season. And again, you've got to remember the Isle of Man used to have millions of tourists coming over here every year in the heyday. We can never go back to that. But actually, if we can build up the number of people coming over here over a 12-month period, that's a big investment in terms of the local economy.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever get back to that myself, actually, because I think the way we've gone the last... oh, God knows how long now, the tourism is doomed in a sense. I mean, we've just blown over 300 million on steam packet. I can remember back about 3 or 4 years where there was a survey done to see if anybody else was interested in actually coming here to run a ferry service. We had quite a lot of interest. But as a result, what we've done is we've bought a company which was going bust anyway, and we've paid over the odds for it. Liverpool should have paid for the terminal if they wanted our custom. We've actually now paid 70-something million pounds for that. The fares are never going to go down because as a result of buying steam packets, and I wonder myself if this is the main reason for buying it, we now have all them shareholders. And all those shareholders will want a dividend. So the fares are never going to come back down again.
Well, if I can take you up on that, because you make a very good point in terms of the steam packet. It wasn't 300 million. I think it was just around about 100 million at the time. And again, you can say, that did we pay too much? Did we pay too little? The only shareholder for the Isle of Man steam packet company is the Isle of Man people. So the Treasury own all the shares for that. So what we're looking at now is using that. And it was incredibly important over the last 18 months that we had a boat in the morning because we controlled those. So using that to actually look at how we can increase the tourism sector, looking at fares, looking at if they are a barrier various times, whether we can have discounted fares, both for local people, but also visitors to the island. I mean, you bring up the Liverpool landing stage, obviously that's going to come up for a vote Tuesday week, because the Department for Infrastructure are coming back for extra money. The costs have spiralled. And it's now a very expensive proposition. And that will have to come to a vote for, you know, in front of Timbrell to see if members agree to that.
Well, I was interrupted there before I'd even finished, actually. But,
oh, I do apologise.
Okay.
But just to go that little bit further, I mean, the shareholders are not the Manx people. They are a chosen few of the Manx people. I don't have any shares in Steam Packet.
Just a minute, Les. Who owns the Steam Packet, Dr. Allinson?
That's the Isle of Man government. So the chief shareholder is the Treasury.
Are there any other shareholders apart from the Treasury?
No.
No, okay. Okay, Les.
You have interrupted me again,
okay.
While I'm in.
Okay,
talk.
But we do have other people waiting. If you could just finish your point off.
This is for the public, this programme, not just...
Okay, but you've been corrected. There are no other shareholders, simply the Treasury, so there are no other shareholders that will take a dividend.
Yeah, well, it's the people themselves, and we never wanted to pay all this £300 million out in the first place.
You've been corrected. It wasn't £300 million, and just consider what a pickle the Isle of Man would have been in if the Steam Packet had been privately owned during COVID and had been subject to commercial pressures.
Well, it's been up to that anyway. Any company would have tried to carry on as they best they could. That's exactly what the Steam Packet have done.
It's not what happened in Jersey, but do carry on.
Well, there's no difference. If it had been a private company, it's like private companies that have been flying here. It worked itself out.
I don't know whether you've noticed, but not many private companies flew here.
Well, who took over in the end? I think it was a Scottish company, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Logan Air, and they were underwritten and paid for by the Isle of Man government to carry on the flights, otherwise they wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, we'd have coped. That's what I'm trying to say. We would have coped, regardless of who would have been in the position of what. Everything we do is making an excuse for Steam Packet, which I try not to use, if possible. If I had a boat, I would... Well, my thoughts are, as soon as I come into money, I'll be getting a boat which I can go over myself in. Because you need to remortgage the house now to get over on Steam Packet with a car.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for your points today. We appreciate that. It's 28 minutes past 12. Met some more messages in, just to say... here we are. This is hang on a minute. This is coming in pieces. Let's have a look here. I think it's horrible. Is it horrible to have to wear a mask when you're shopping? Test before you go out. Wearing masks makes life a misery. So I want to go out and have a life and not exist. I think it's a disaster wearing a mask. Sorry, this is all coming in different pieces. Lots of people don't like wearing masks.
Yep.
What do we say to them?
It's interesting because I obviously, growing up as a doctor and having to wear masks in surgery for 8 hours at a time, I can completely understand why people don't want to wear them all the time. However, this is actually showing consideration for people around you. This is acting responsibly, that when you're in a built-up area, such as a shop, you look after other people around you. You look after the people who are having to work there. And so you put a mask on out of respect for them and what they're doing. So what government are asking people to do is do just that. We haven't made it mandatory, as they have across. We're asking people to do the right thing. But at the same time, we're trying to make sure that those people who are providing the services, like Les, you know, a taxi driver trying to look after himself, he doesn't want to get COVID and go off and not be able to provide for his family. So he's asking people in his cab to put a mask on. Why wouldn't you do that? Just as a politeness and as a mark of respect for that short journey.
Okay, James, you're live with Dr. Allinson.
Hello, I just want to say something to clarify for everybody. Dr. Allinson said the Steam Packet is owned by the Treasury, and that gentleman earlier seemed to have some sort of objection to that. If the Manx government Treasury owns the Steam Packet, in effect it means that every person on the Isle of Man is a shareholder. The people own it. And the point I wish to make is, I've often been critical of the Manx government, but one of the best things it ever did was to nationalise the steam packet company, because I don't like privatised monopolies. That's all.
Okay, all right. James, thanks for calling today. A good point well made. And the fact is, the steam packet was used as a cash cow for many commercial enterprises before. Now, the Isle of Man's making the money.
Well, yeah, and thank you, James, because it was a really difficult decision to make to go in and buy the steam packet. We knew that they wanted the previous company that was privately owned by a couple of banks wanted to extend their user agreement, and if we had have agreed to that, they'd have sold it on straight away. We were quite aware of that. So a price was arrived at. Yes, in hindsight, could it have been less, given what happened afterwards, possibly. But that price is guaranteed not only the ship itself that the two ships that we use, but also the link span here. And obviously with the development in Liverpool, we will own both sides of the Irish Sea in terms of landing stages, but also when the new ships come on board as well, we can provide a much better service for people of the Isle of Man. And as you were saying, Andy, you know, if it had been left up to a private company, we'd possibly have had one or two ferries a week over the last 18 months. Or we'd have been asked to pay them a couple of million pounds a week to provide...
Well, they would have had us over a barrel.
They would have. And you know, whilst nobody goes into these decisions lightly, the reality was we had two boats a day right the way through the pandemic, even though sometimes there was nobody on it, but we got the freight coming in and we got the food coming in, we got the PPE coming in, we brought in enough equipment to build an oxygen plant for Nobles. It was that important. It kept people alive. And I'm very grateful for all the staff who work on the steam packet, who, again, went through some very rough times over the last 18 months as well.
And it's worth bearing in mind that Guernsey have got their own airline, a state-owned airline. Yep. They own Orini. So it's not. This is not a new idea. Dr. Allenson, your thoughts and comments, says Dave. The island's facing a perfect storm in relation to employment, recruitment and retention. Employers are finding it impossible, sometimes increasingly impossible, to recruit skilled people for the right jobs, hence the abundance of jobs available. Now we face a real-time problem. We're no longer attractive to a wide base of possible employees outside the Isle of Man due to property prices and the relatively high cost of living. So what does the government intend to do to sort this out, short, long-term?
I mean, it's a very good question. In terms of what governments intend to do, we are listening to businesses. We're listening to the people who run businesses for their own input to this. And only earlier on today, I was having a chat with various representatives of the Chamber of Commerce. There is a skills shortage. There is also a people shortage. You know, even simple jobs like cleaning, for instance, or waiting at tables. There are shortages, and that's holding back the economy as it hopefully grows once we've got over COVID. So what governments are doing is working with businesses to see how we can make it easier, not only to retrain people on the island and keep them, but also attract more people to the island. We've got the Minimum Wage Committee are going to have their report going before Comin this month, looking at what the minimum wage should be. So if we can keep up to date with the UK, keep competitive in terms of the wages we have, that will help people over. But also what relocation packages we have, and the Department for Enterprise have had a whole range of those, both for companies and graduates, Manx graduates coming back. There's also the aspects of Brexit and where all these people have gone to now, because the UK and lots of other jurisdictions are having the same problems getting skilled workforce. So we're looking at the immigration now to make it easier to get temporary staff over for those businesses who really need the staff. But it is, you know, it is going to be challenging. I mean, if you'd have told me last year that there'd be a shortage of HGV drivers that would stop, you know, stop Nando's opening because they didn't have enough chicken, I'd have thought that's bizarre. The long-term effects of the pandemic and Brexit and what's happening in the world in general have created some really strange phenomena. And it's a matter of reacting to
work
that.
Work permits come under you, don't they?
They do.
Okay, what's the situation with work permits at the moment?
I don't think work permits are any longer a barrier to people coming over here. We've gradually looked at all those occupations whereby we've waived work permits, particularly in terms of health and social care, but also some of the skilled jobs in terms of IT and finance. So the number of people who need work permits now to come over is relatively small, but we still need to make sure that Manx workers are given precedent. You know, if jobs come up, that we can actually manage to employ our own people. And what we don't want is to import a whole lot of very cheap labour that will distort the market here. So it is protecting what we've got, but also looking forward and expanding the offering and making sure that we have the right number of people with the right skills to allow the companies over here to expand and grow, but also to entice new companies to be based here.
Okay. Dr. Allanson's with us, Minister for Enterprise. You may have known him in his previous incarnation as Education, Sport and Culture, but Enterprise is his department now, and we're live on Man in Line Till One.
When Bob and Rosa at Cafe Rosa in Glenduff retired, the most delicious food on the island retired with them. The curries, the fresh fish, the amazing roast dinners, and especially Rosa's legendary desserts. But they've decided gardening isn't for them, and now they're back. Cafe Rosa has reopened with all the old favourites to take away once again. See the menus at caferosa.org and call 816609 to book. Cafe Rosa Takeaway is open again.
Blackford Financial Services in Ramsey and Douglas. Blackfords are here to help make life simple as we guide you through the important financial stages in life, from helping you on your first mortgage right through to planning for your well-earned retirement. Our philosophy will help you live for today but plan for tomorrow. Visit us in Ramsey or Douglas or contact us on 627 674 to arrange your free no-obligation meeting. Blackford Financial Services.
What's too hot in summer and too cold in winter? Your conservatory. Well, now, Phoenix Windows can convert your conservatory roof with a solid, lightweight, insulated roof to turn your conservatory into a room you can comfortably use all year round. Phoenix Windows, for free estimates, free surveys, bespoke made-to-measure windows, guaranteed work, and all-island coverage. For your free, no-obligation quotation, call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
Premium beers, wines, and spirits for less this Christmas. Sainsbury's Taste the Difference always stands for exceptional quality and value. So celebrate extra savings right across the range. Regional brews, three for £5. Selected wines with a 25% discount. Champagne from £20. Excitingly flavoured gins and single malts. Raise a glass and taste the difference with Sainsbury's. Only at ShopRite and the WineRite neighbourhood food store. Proudly locally owned.
Red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose.
On tonight's agenda, we speak to a minister with just over 2 months of experience in the House of Keys. Kate Lord Brennan, though, holds a very important role in the heart of government. I'm keen to find out what's changed with her ministerial role, and is the brighter and more radical future promised by the new House of Keys likely to be realised, or is it just a naive political fantasy? If you're interested too, tune in to Agenda with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio at 6 p.m.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
21 minutes before one. Hello, Marie.
Hello there.
You're live with Alex Allanson.
Hello, Dr. Allanson. My name is Marie. I just had a question about the air links to Dublin. We're really struggling over the last 2 years.
Yeah,
I think our families and to get family over and nursing and nurses and doctors over to apply for these wonderful jobs in Nobles, but no links to get my Irish colleagues over.
Okay, I mean thanks very much for your phone call, Murray. I absolutely agree with you. One of the things that we've done straight after the general election was look at those strategic routes we needed to actually guarantee. We saw with the pandemic, as previous callers have commented on, that the aviation industry went into meltdown. I mean, if you remember, we lost Flybe just beforehand. Then COVID came as well. Stobart Air went. So we were really struggling, and with the borders being shut as well, a lot of the airlines walked away. So what government have done is look at those key strategic routes, and those are sort of Liverpool, Manchester, London, but also Dublin as well. We've got to look at the other side of things, both for visitors coming over, but as you say, we're trying to recruit actively from the Republic of Ireland, looking at people like nurses, doctors, teachers, and they're not going to come here unless they can get backwards and forwards, unless they can see family. And we have lots of residents here who have family across both in all the different parts of the island of Ireland. So establishing those routes is incredibly important. We're now in conversation with some of the main airlines to see when we can restart those, and actually we want to try to do that as soon as possible.
When was the last time you flew to Ireland, Marie?
Well, I'm looking forward to going this Friday for a long weekend. However, I have to go via Belfast.
Yep.
With my young daughter to see my mum, who has been in hospital for 2 months. I have to get up in the middle of the night to get a 7 a.m. flight back from Belfast because I live down the south. So, to be honest, I just don't know how. We can't stay up in Belfast because the hotel by the airport is now fully booked with all the Manx residents that have to get the Monday morning 7 a.m. flight back to the Isle of Man.
Dr. Allison, is Dublin a priority?
It is indeed. I mean, we've looked both in terms of people, but also the businesses. When we've reached out to them, Dublin is seen as a key centre. One, because it's going into part of the European Union directly, but also Dublin Airport has got some fantastic facilities to then transit directly into North America as well. And when we're looking at increasing the economy, we need those international links. So certainly establishing flights to Dublin is seen as a key priority. There have been some really encouraging signs coming out from Aer Lingus and their new regional airline that they've set up, that they're going to start those flights early on in the new year. But as a government, we're keen to see how we can try to accelerate that and make sure that those flights are run at a decent time, both for business travellers and visitors and Isle of Man residents.
Okay, Marie, I hope everything goes well.
And just one last point.
Okay.
All the wonderful jobs that are advertised in Nobles Hospital, great opportunities for nurses. I share them with my colleagues. I'm a nurse myself. Share them with my colleagues, and then the conversation stops. We cannot get to the island. We cannot get to the island for an interview from Southern Ireland. And then relocation packages. Again, they have to go Dublin, Liverpool, Isle of Man, poor connections, end of conversations.
Okay.
My nursing colleagues are going elsewhere.
All right, Marie, we appreciate your call. Thanks for making that point. You aren't not the only person to make that point.
No, and I completely agree with what you're saying. Also, Marie shows that some of the best advertisement for the Isle of Man are the people of the Isle of Man. And so thank you so much for helping recruit some extra staff to Nobles Hospital for us. But we need those links so that people can come back on and off the island as easily as possible.
Okay, Bill, you're live with Alex Allenson.
Good afternoon, Doctor. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right, thank you, Bill.
Good. Pleased to hear it. I think the Isle of Man government seems to be missing a huge hole here, which would stitch some of these things together. In terms of the steam packet, its ownership by the people, in terms of travel and tourism, and in terms of marijuana. The sooner we legalise the use of marijuana on the island as a leisure, the sooner people will be coming here on holiday, and holidays and tourism will be able to base, at least some small parts of it, will be able to base on that usage. And the income from the steam packet would also improve. We would probably need to put on extra tourist activities from the south of Ireland too, so that would also improve those transport connections. There just seems to be a huge hole that nobody's talking about. And it's so obvious, it seems to me ridiculous, that we haven't already done this.
Okay. Bill, I agree with you. Certainly when I stood for MHK 2016 and recently, part of my platform was on the legalisation of recreational use. However, I'm here invited by Andy Winter's minister, and so I have to toe the party line to a degree, but the Department for Home Affairs are currently doing a big bit of work in terms of the harms of alcohol and drug use on the Isle of Man. And I hope that on the back of that, we can look again at our legislation, look again at the way we deal with drug problems and the way we deal with alcohol problems, and have a much more adult viewpoint for this, particularly when right around the world, a whole range of other jurisdictions are making marijuana use legal, but doing it in a very well regulated way that doesn't affect children and young adults, and makes absolutely certain that our criminals are excluded from the market, and that the people who buy recreational marijuana know exactly what they're buying.
Okay. Bill, how would you, I mean, how would your ambition manifest itself in terms of recreational use and tourism on the Isle of Man?
Well, I think we've been talking about this for so many years. I remember coming up to the station some 20 years ago and doing a live show about marijuana and changes in the drug law. I think one of the things we have to do first is separate. We always talk about drugs and alcohol. Alcohol is singly the most dangerous drug on the Isle of Man. There is no more dangerous drug on the Isle of Man than alcohol. That's something we need to really talk about and do something about for the sake of everybody on the Isle of Man. I've lost count of the amount of dead people I now know who are directly affected by alcohol. So let's separate the alcohol away. We've also done numerous studies over the years on marijuana and its usage and legislation for legalization. Yes, I totally agree with you, Dr. Allinson. It must be properly regulated. But if it's done by the government and in effect the government can become the dealer, again, there's another income stream to come to the island. We could do this very easily. It just takes a change of head, a change of thinking. And it's about time we did it. I don't want to see any more people on the island dying from overdoses of alcohol, from alcohol-induced illnesses of all types, of all types. I've never known anybody ever in my lifetime die from an overdose of marijuana.
Okay. All right, Bill. Thanks for calling us today. We've got to move on because lots of people are with us, but we appreciate it for your call. Alistair, you're live with Dr. Allinson.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Andy, good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon.
First thing is, I would like to try and get clear with the public, because they don't seem to have it clear in their mind, is just how good the steam packet deal was for the island. I happen to know quite a lot of the figures involved. And when you look at it from a business point of view, the cost of the steam packet, the profitability of the steam packet per annum, and you put all these figures together, this is an unbelievable deal that the government have achieved. And I just wish that the public in general would understand that, because it definitely is a very, very good, solid business deal for this island. That's looking at it from a business point of view. From a practical point of view, of course, it's even better, because we have ownership of the thing within our own government. And so I would like to try and get that put to bed. But going on from there, Minister, I wondered what the possibility may be in the future, because we don't have the number of hotels. I'm talking about tourism now. We don't have the number of hotels at the moment that are required for substantial tourism. And that's going to take some years to achieve, I would imagine. But there is something that I think could be discussed, which is Ramsay Whitehaven. And I say that for two or three reasons. Because in the summer in particular, we have the Lake District that, as you know, gets a tremendous amount of visitors. And Ramsay Whitehaven would serve as a day trip from the Lake District for those visitors to the Lake District. And I think that could bring in quite a lot of revenue and particularly help Ramsay a lot. And the other thing that could be considered in conjunction with that is helicopter trips, D-trips, from the Lake District to the Isle of Man, which would be more expensive, I quite agree. But then on the other hand, there are people, many people going to the Lake District with the kind of money, they're quite prepared to pay that amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, Alistair, thank you very much for your comments about the steam packet. Again, what a lot of people don't realise is the whole company was leveraged with debt, and a lot of that was written off when the Isle of Man bought it. And now we've got the scope to develop it. I think you make some very good comments about accommodation. Obviously, during TT, we have the snooze boxes that are brought over to increase that. But certainly day trips, and once we get the borders open a little bit more and more people want to explore the island, one of the things that government are looking at is the cruise liners, whether we can open that up a little bit more, but also develop that more for UK residents to come over here. And so using some of the smaller boats that come into, that be able to come into either Peel or Ramsey would be absolutely ideal to try to increase the tourist trade.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling today, Alistair.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 9 minutes to 1.
Here at Manx Glass and Glazing, we believe that one of the real joys of the festive season is the opportunity to say thank you for your custom and support throughout the year.
We really do value the trust that you place in us for all your glazing and repair needs.
We wish you the happiest of New Years and welcome you to our showroom at Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing requirements.
Season's greetings from Manx Glass and Glazing. Call 674 573.
In our quest to remove all single-use plastic from our milk packaging, Isle of Man Creamery is launching a new 100% recyclable 1.75-litre carton made from sustainable and renewable sources. We're the first in the British Isles to offer these new large cartons, and you can pick them up now in local retailers or add them to your Isle of Man Creamery doorstep delivery. Visit isleofmancreamery.com. Plant-based cartons from Isle of Man Creamery. Better for the environment, better for you.
Dreaming of early retirement? Longing for that holiday home in the sun? Want to spend more time with family? It could happen sooner than you think. Chase Wealth offers financial lifestyle planning to help you achieve your life goals and financial wellness, with a comprehensive review of your finances and a bespoke plan tailored to you. Visit our new website, chasewealth.im, advising the island for over 24 years. Chase Financial Services, trading as Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Dreaming about a move to a better, more fulfilling job? Then visit orchardrecruitment.com, where we can introduce you to your perfect career. At Orchard, we make the process easy. Our fully responsive website allows you to quickly apply for jobs, upload and store your CV, manage job alerts and much more, including live chat with our expert recruiters. So why not register today at orchardrecruitment.com? After all, you've nothing to lose and a great deal to gain. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And also Dr. Alex Allinson, Minister for Enterprises, with us, as is Bill. You're live with Alex Allinson.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Mr. Allinson.
Hello there.
Yeah, two things. My text didn't come through right a few minutes ago. All it is that the point I was trying to make is the masks don't make it, like, it's just not nice to have to wear. I know you say you don't have to wear them, but just say if I go to Marks and Spencer's and want to do my Christmas shopping, it's just horrible. I can't be bothered to go in there with it. I mean, I do it, like you said, because obviously I don't want to infect anybody or Charlie, la, la, la. But we need to get the island back to as normal as possible, as quick as we can. We had a publican on, I think I heard on Friday, say they need help now, they're desperate, people are not going out, people are cancelling, all etc. We'd be lucky to have anything like running if we don't sort of try and get this back to square one as soon as possible. That is one point for the economy, that is. The second point, I run two companies on the island. I employ people, and what I always find is you can't get the staff, you can't get the people. What in sort of going forward, and I've had a business for 20 years plus, going forward, what are you going to be doing to sort of help all of us, you know, scaffold companies, building companies, you know, all these construction companies that are crying out for people, can't get people. What plans have we got?
Yeah, I mean, thanks very much, Bill. And I understand your comments about masks. I mean, there are some people who can't physically wear a mask if they've got various breathing problems. And again, one of the options is to wear a visor, and you're seeing quite a few people now wearing those instead of a face mask, of a face covering. I also completely agree with you in terms of getting back to a sense of normality as soon as possible to support the local industries, to support local businesses. We know the hospitality sector have taken a bit of a bashing, particularly the last 2 weeks with people cancelling work dues and things like that. So certainly, you know, personally, I'm trying to go out a little bit more to support restaurants and pubs, but doing it in the right way. So I'll do tests before I go out, and I'll wear a mask if I'm getting the bus on the way there. But and I think if everyone could really make sure that this Christmas we try to shop local, support local businesses, that has a huge effect on the economy. We also need to grow the active working population of this island, and I take on board your comments about trying to get staff over, and that comes on to some of the discussions we were having beforehand about the right skills, the right employment prospects, and immigration.
Okay, we got a minute. So, all right, Bill, thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. All right, good to talk to you. Okay, so in that time, do you think we will be able to grow the working population? Do you get enough people here who can do the work?
I think we can. I mean, Marie's out actively campaigning in Southern Ireland as we speak to get people to come over and work here. Yes, we can.
Okay, we got a minute, by the way, now. Which means... Dr. Allenson, thanks for being with us today. Obviously, we didn't get to half of what we want. We didn't actually get to about 90% of what we were going to talk about. So my inevitable question is, early in 2022, will you come back?
Love to.
Okay, locate. In the meantime, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Have a very safe Christmas yourself, and I hope to see you out and about in Douglas.
We've been with Dr. Allenson, the Minister for Enterprise, today. If you want to follow up on any of that, then you can email maninline@manxradio.com, call 682-631. We'll be back tomorrow with another open line at 12 midday at high noon. In the meantime, thanks to Barry Redfern today and Ben Hartley on the Facebook and YouTube. I'm Andy Wince, and I'll catch you tomorrow.